Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to talk a bit about the nature of our conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith." The word conscience occurs 28 times in the New American Standard Bible, New Testament. It's only used once in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 24, verse 5, where David's conscience bothered him after he cut off the edge of Saul's robe in the cave of En-Gedi. But that word for conscience is the word for heart. There's a few other places where the Hebrew word for heart could probably be translated conscience. But it's not usually the case. The bottom line is, in the Bible, the nature of our conscience is basically a New Testament concept. Definitions of conscience. I think probably there's a biblical one that's good in Hebrews 13:8 that says, "Conscience is desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things." I think I can summarize the definitions by saying, conscience is our mental, moral compass that gives us an understanding of what's right and wrong. Now let's talk about the nature of the conscience. Our conscience will inevitably follow our understanding of right and wrong. If our understanding of right and wrong changes, our conscience changes. We can arbitrarily choose to not follow what we understand to be right, but we cannot arbitrarily choose to change what we understand to be right. Conscience is not a choice, it's a product of our understanding. We can choose to not follow it, but we cannot choose to not have it. Our conscience and our faith are both tied to our understanding. Faith is a decision to trust what we understand to be true. Conscience is a mental concept of what we understand to be right. Both are tied to our understanding, and both can change. The difference is faith is inevitably tied to what we understand to be true. Conscience is not. Conscience is like a compass that always points north. It's a moral compass that points to what's right. But unlike faith, it does not dictate our actions. Our conscience can understand a certain action to be right, but that does not mean we'll follow that action. Let's talk about the origin of our conscience. Where did our conscience come from? Well, the answer is we were born with it. Actually conceived with it. Our conscience is not something that came from our religion or our teachers or our society. These may all strengthen or shape or warp our conscience, weaken it, strengthen it, but they didn't give it to us in the first place. Our parents passed it along to us as part of our genetic makeup. It's hardwired into our brain, and we cannot escape it. Scientists at Oxford University have located an aspect of the human brain that seems to give us our conscience. And interestingly, they have established that animals don't have it. To look into which part of the brain actually controls our superior decision-making, scientists have carried out MRI scans on both humans and monkeys. And they found one area of the cortex that's not equivalent in monkeys, an area called the lateral frontal pole prefrontal cortex, if I'm saying all that right. So it's something that's not found in animals, it's found in all humans. Now let's talk about the origin of the conscience originally. Individually, we receive a conscience from our parents, but where did the human conscience originate? Answer, Adam and Eve. It appears that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God created or activated something in the human brain that gave us a conscience. Here's what happened, Genesis 2:16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." Then Genesis 3:6 and 7, When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And then in Genesis 3:22, then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." Did Adam and Eve have a conscience originally? Answer, no, they did not. They only knew obedience and disobedience, not right and wrong. But then they disobeyed and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And notice that what they received from the tree was the concept of good and its contrast, evil. Whereas before, the only moral concept they knew was obedience and its contrast, disobedience. I've read more than one preacher comment on this where they said, before the fall, Adam and Eve knew good but not evil. Well, that's impossible. The concept of good assumes the contrast to it is evil. The eating of the fruit of the garden was presented to Adam and Eve with a restriction. He knew a violation was wrong, but it was presented to him the same way you give a command to your dog. He knows obedience and disobedience without any concept of good and evil. That knowledge of good and evil also meant that Adam and Eve and their descendants, like you and I, are not only judged for specific acts of obedience versus disobedience, but for the knowledge of good and evil itself. For example, if we simply lived according to the obedience, disobedience, we might say, well, the Bible does not tell me I can't do a certain thing, so it's okay for me to do that. But since we have a conscience, we also have to ask, is doing that thing right or wrong? For example, the Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. That's an obedience-disobedience question. Jesus asked them, is it good to do good or evil on the Sabbath? That's a good-evil question, which they'll be judged for because they have a conscience. Jesus said, you've heard it, that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That's an obedience-disobedience. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. That's a good-evil question, which we'll be judged for because we have a conscience. All of us from the fall of Adam and Eve on will be judged for an inner mental, moral good and evil, which comes from our conscience. Obedience was never sufficient. Even when Israel was given a obedience-disobedience standard of the Mosaic Law, God held them to a conscience-based standard, cease to do evil, learn to do good, Isaiah chapter 1. There's a default position of the conscience. In Romans 1:19-20, Paul wrote, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what's been made, so that they're without excuse. He went on to say in Romans 2:14-15, for when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them. The human conscience understands actual right and wrong to the extent that people who have never heard the Bible have the divine nature of God in the form of a conscience. It functions as an inter-mental accuser when they are wrong and a defender when they're right. Conscience is like an old-style screen door with a spring on it. Left to itself, it swings shut in the direction of the divine nature of God. For example, if someone has never heard of the Ten Commandments, their conscience, left to itself, will be alternatively accusing them when they break one of them, or else defend them when they're keeping them. This is evidenced by the fact that all societies of our world throughout history have developed a moral code with similarities that are far greater than the differences from one another. Also, no one can keep their own belief system. Progressives would like you to believe that your morality is only imposed on you from your social structures. But that's not so. If you honestly come up with your own set of moral principles, say your own Ten Commandments, you can't keep them. Where does that come from? Where'd you get the idea of a morality you can't keep? Animals can keep their standards just fine. Why can't you? That's your conscience. I want to talk about rejecting conscience. Because the conscience can be rejected, Paul says, branded or defiled. We've established that all humans inherited a conscience from Adam and Eve, and that conscience knows good and evil. The problem is we have also inherited a sin nature by which our conscience can have its understanding weakened. But it can go further than that. Conscience can also be perverted to where at a certain point it becomes what Paul called rejected, branded, or defiled. Although the conscience never goes away, either we can weaken it to the point where it does not give us a signal like a weak battery, or we can become detached from it. Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, both their mind and their conscience are defiled. 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20. Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I've handed over to Satan, so they will be taught not to blaspheme. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, but the Spirit especially says, in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared or branded in their own conscience as with a branding iron. A person can only violate their moral understanding so long. At a certain point, their understanding right and wrong itself changes. Historically, when that happens, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurities, to degrading passions in Romans 1. For example, when God destroyed the people at the time of Noah's flood, we read in Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart, and this the word heart is the same word that can be translated conscience, every intent of the thought of his heart or conscience was only evil continually. At a certain point, God gives people over to a perverted conscience that's no longer able to provide a path back to what's right. So we can have a Genghis Khan raping and pillaging his way throughout the East because every intent of the thought of his heart is only evil continually. The individual nature of the conscience. Let's go back to Romans 2 to notice something else about Paul's description of the conscience. Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law. These not having the law are a law to themselves, their conscience bearing witness. So the conscience is an individual morality. We will not feel guilty if we break laws we don't believe are right. But the conscience is an individual moral compass that is not established by Congress, nor can it be policed by corporate leaders. The last thing I'd like to look at is the conscience and our personal peace. Violating our conscience results in a loss of peace and a path towards depression. Back to 1 Timothy 24, verse 5, came about that afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. If we violate our conscience, it'll bother us. If we continue to do that, it'll take away our personal peace of mind. And over a period of time, it can lead to conditions like depression. Paul was able to maintain peace under persecution because he functioned with a good conscience. He said things like, Acts 23:1, I have lived my life in a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. Acts 24:16, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. Romans 9:1. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Paul was making the point that he had no inner mental anxiety over what he'd done because he acted consistent with his conscience. Violating our conscience will sacrifice our inner peace, replacing it with anxiety, which, if it continues, will lead to depression. Conversely, living consistently with a good conscience, it leads to rejoicing. David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Again, that's the word that can be translated conscience. Psalm 119:165, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So as a conclusion, the conscience is that part of the human brain, not found in animals, which understands good and evil. It was initiated by Adam and Eve, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and passing it on to all of us. We come out of the womb with an understanding of good and evil, but we also come out of the womb with a sin nature, so the conscience can be strengthened, weakened, or rejected completely, and we're held responsible not just for what we do, but what we do about our conscience. The main application is we need to keep strengthening our conscience with an understanding of good and evil obtained from the Word of God. Psalm 119:163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes for the quotes and scriptures is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.